Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a good morning to you. Welcome in. It is the early morning show. On a Monday morning, my name is Matt Cole. I produce the Van Morning Show. I'll be sticking around for that and also be with you here on the air until about 5:40 before the Van Morning Show pre-show. Hope you had a great weekend. There's a little bit of a chill in the air this morning. It's not, you know, quite there yet, but it's in the 60s, mid-60s. Maybe a little early sign that fall is just around the corner, and normally that would depress me a little bit. Knowing that the summer is slowly fading away, but this year, more than any other year, I think, in the past, the fall is a more of a welcome sign because that means that football season is right around the corner, and that means a lot more action, sports action, around here after a summer and really the last, 5 months now of just complete uncertainty with sports and off and on, and just all the nonsense that we've dealt with. I don't need to go into a bunch of detail beyond just that. And so I think that fall weather is a reminder that football is coming. And it's a couple weeks. We'll have the NFL season rolling. We'll have college football rolling as well. Man, I can't wait. But until then, we discuss things that happened this past weekend. And as always on a Monday morning, I start with three big takeaways from the weekend in sports, so let's fire them right up with number three.
Number three.
And it was another great golf battle this weekend, right? It was yesterday at the BMW Championship at Olympia Fields. We had the world number one and the world number two putting on a show, battling it out, to going right after each other. On Saturday on the fifth green, John Rahm picked up his golf ball without marking it and was penalized one shot. And after that round, he said he hoped it didn't have him lose by a shot in the end. And man, it almost did. As we were at the end of the road yesterday, and here he was locked in with Dustin Johnson, the world number one, to the bitter end. Johnson made a 43-foot putt to send it into a playoff. And he showed rare emotion whenever he made that shot to get it there. And it was on. I mean, it was full on what you want golf to be at the very end of a weekend. And then in the playoff, John Rahm from 66 feet out sounded like this.
In style. Here it comes. Here it.
Watch out!
Comes.
It comes!
Some crowd for that made shot from John Rahm. Just, it took forever to get there, but what a beautiful putt it was from 66 feet out. Then DJ tried a 30-footer and finished just off to the right, and Rahm took the BMW championship. Great golf drama, right? And I've had the habit of saying, well, where did it land in the big picture of sports? Every time we have a big golf event, it's like, well, how many people were actually paying attention to it? Is this good for golf? Where is golf? What's the health of the sport? Where are they right now? how many people were captivated by it. And I think the pandemic taught me that golf just has its place. And I don't know how much more beyond it goes. There's going to be golf fans that enjoy it, and I saw plenty of people enjoying it, you know, via social media or whatever, talking about it, and others that just aren't going to be interested, that no matter what it is, they're just going to be like, golf? Eh, no thanks. I'll do something else, or I'll watch something else, whatever it is. I'll watch a movie, whatever. Even when it was the only form of sports on TV, that was the case a few months ago. Whenever golf was supposed to have the spotlight, I mean, ratings went up, sure, but they weren't, like, drastic. They weren't blow you away with the numbers. And until that next clash of dominance and personality comes along again, if it ever does, and, you know, I have my doubts of whether it will or not, like Tiger, then that's what it's going to be. There's going to be a golf crowd, people that love to watch it, that play it a lot, that can relate to what's going on. Maybe check in on a Sunday, especially if the scores are tight or if they have some money on it. That's definitely a factor these days. Then they'll tune in. If not, then they're not going to, nothing, there's not much that's going to draw people into the game of golf. And I think that's largely okay. They've got their fan base, they're rolling with it. All right, number two from this weekend.
Number two.
Mike Tomlin's leadership skills were on display again. Maybe more importantly, the amount his players and the organization respect him was on display again. It was Friday night before a practice and a scrimmage at Heinz Field. Tomlin took the mic and gave the organization's response and plan to combat the racial injustice issues in our country. Sounded a little bit like this.
That privilege does not shield us from shock or outrage. It does not shield us from fear. Fear for our safety or our loved ones, or an uncertain future. Beyond being football men, first and foremost, we're husbands, fathers, brothers, sons, uncles, members of a community. And we wanted to pause and to share with those that are hurting tonight that we see you, that we hear you, but most importantly, we stand with you.
You know, there are things that frustrate you about him as a coach. Frustrate me as well. Like, you know, not getting to the playoffs the past two seasons, although last year he was out without Ben Roethlisberger. Or the Tomlin specials of losing to teams that he shouldn't, as we have so, you know, creatively called them over the years. Lovingly, I guess. But here you see why the Steelers, already historically a team slow to make a move at the head coaching position, handle Tomlin the way they do, despite some disappointments along the way. Even when things look like they're coming down on him, that they give him just a one-year contract extension, and that's it. They don't ever go anything beyond that. They don't say, hey, he's got to, you know, do better in his job or whatever. I mean, it's not just singling him out. By himself. He is the ultimate CEO type, face of the franchise when called upon, I think. Savvy leader that the players respect, so much so that they chose him to be their voice in that moment. That they didn't want anybody else to kind of represent the team. There was no, you know, despite there being a lot of leadership player-wise, to not have a player step forward and to give a speech in that moment, but to have it be Mike Tomlin that ultimately delivers the message from the entire organization. And Art Rooney II was there, Kevin Colbert was there, right behind Tomlin, but he was the one that was voicing it all. And I think that says a lot about his standing, not only in the National Football League, but with the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. And, you know, at the very least, he is definitely that representative. And, you know, you can say all the things you want about, you know, the not having a losing season for his entire, you know, coaching tenure and how he is respected a lot more nationally than he is here locally. But I think it's important that he does have the respect of his organization and his players as well. And that was on display on Friday. And the number one takeaway for me from this weekend.
Number one.
Not necessarily the most important takeaway, but just the third one is some Pirates first half takeaways, I guess. from the season at being 10-21, just beyond the midway point in a 60-game season. And what the heck have we learned about this team? Well, we learned that Jacob Stallings is their best player, apparently. And if you would have told me that back in, well, in March before the season started, and even back in June before this season started, that Jacob Stallings was going to be their best player, I would have told you that they're in some trouble. And of course they are at 10-21. But that's not to say that Jacob Stallings hasn't been very good so far. 323 average, has 12 RBIs as well, 813 OPS, has been the most consistent hitter at the plate. He's not flashy, but he's got gap-to-gap power and has been consistent throughout the year. And I think defensively as well, he has done well to work with these pitchers, to frame pitches, and has been solid back there. And I can't say a negative thing about what Jacob Stallings has brought to the table so far. Beyond that, there's a lot of unknowns. No player has kind of reestablished himself as a major leaguer. You look toward, you know, Kevin Newman, and you look toward Brian Reynolds. Newman's been turning it around a little bit lately. He's gotten his average back up to 264 now, but Brian Reynolds, 184, still under the Mendoza line. Josh Bell, you wanted more from him, although he's come alive with his bat, power-wise at least, over the last couple games, but still only four home runs on the season, still only hitting 218 on the year. So there's a lot of guys that you thought, well, they can take that next step and at least be there to count on them to provide production for this season. Hasn't been there. Derek Shelton, what do we know about him? I don't know. Other than he's used 28 different combinations of lineups. So what kind of manager is he? Who knows? One that doesn't like to keep things the same. I know that. And maybe it's a realization through 31 games that it's just a small sample size in a Major League Baseball season. Despite it being a 60-game season, you just can't tell a lot from 31 games. That would be just 1 month, essentially, a month plus of baseball in a normal year. And it all sets up for a very, very interesting trade deadline at 4 o'clock today, and I'll get to more of that before the end of the show today, actually to wrap up the show, of who's not likely to go, who could go, and who's most likely to go for the Pirates, because we've got to analyze the entire roster, because it looks like and seems like just about everybody on this roster is not safe from going somewhere else by 4 o'clock today. So we'll discuss that before the end of the show. Coming up next, some things you may have missed even from last night as you're just waking up here on a Monday morning. We'll go over those things next. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. Welcome in. It is the Early Morning Show right here on 93.7 The Fan. Some things you may have missed from last night, especially being up this early to join me here on a Monday morning. Let's get to him.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
All right, first NBA action. I know NBA in Pittsburgh, but yes, the playoffs are still going on there. Boston beat Toronto in game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals. During the middle of the day, it was the Clippers finally closing out the Mavericks 111-97. Kawhi Leonard, 33 points. Luka Doncic had 38, but of course, Dallas falls short there. And then the continuance of what has been a fantastic series, if you're a basketball fan, of the Denver Nuggets and Utah Jazz. Denver beating Utah to force a Game 7 last night. Murray with 50 points. It's been the Murray and Mitchell show. Murray had 50 last night for Denver. Mitchell with 44 for the Utah Jazz. So they continue to go at it, and we'll see a Game 7 there. So if you're just a general basketball fan, I think you can tune in to enjoy that. In the NHL from last night, it was Dallas 5-4 over Colorado. So Dallas still leads that series 3-1. And it's been kind of a surprise, at least for me, to see Colorado go down like that. And then the Islanders 3-2 over the Flyers. And they take a 3-1 series lead. That's always good to see. The Islanders continuing that system with Barry Trotz and still getting the best of the Philadelphia Flyers and now looking to close them out here in a couple days. And then more so in the Western Conference, Vegas beat Vancouver 5-3. And guess who is back on the scene?
Now Pettersson, who had a skate issue, has returned after missing about 3.5 minutes. Puck is not all what a stop by Marc-Andre Fleury.
But this is one. Toffoli with a wraparound chance. And you see them all looking at the puck rather than picking up people. And Marc-Andre Fleury against Pettersson comes up large with the glove. How many times have you seen that in Vegas, fans? With Fleury reaching out to his left and ripping it out of the air.
Yep, Marc-Andre Fleury's back. He always comes back, doesn't he? He's back in net for Vegas, and they did have to come back last night in the third period, scored 3 third-period goals to win that game, and now they lead that series, where they will, where we're leading it before, but now up 3-1 in that series over Vancouver. In college football news, LSU receiver Ja'Marr Chase leaving before his junior season to prepare for the 2021 NFL draft. So another big name in college football just saying, nope, forget it. I'm out. I'm training for the NFL. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to have it screw up my potential professional career. And even though the SEC has gone forward and is saying, hey, there's nothing that's going to, the apocalypse is going to be the only thing that's going to stop us from playing college football ever. Ja'Marr Chase still leaving LSU to do that. And then Major League Baseball's got its trade deadline coming up at 4 o'clock today. And I'll get into some things with the Pirates, who might go, but some big names that might go from around Major League Baseball. The Texas Rangers are discussing Joey Gallo, who it seems like every power hitter this year is hitting right around the Mendoza line, right around 200. But is still hitting bombs, and that's the same with Joey Gallo. 188 this year, 7 home runs, 16 RBIs. I think Christian Yelich has a similar stat line this year. A Josh Hader, who we just saw, who couldn't find the plate for some reason against the Pirates a couple days ago. He's also on the block. The Dodgers have checked in on him and his 186 ERA. Archie Bradley and Starling Marte are both on the trade block, apparently, with the Diamondbacks. They're open to trading both of those guys. And the White Sox, Padres, and Braves are all pursuing Mike Clevinger, he of the going out and breaking quarantine rules, but also he of the 3.18 ERA and 21 strikeouts in his limited time, and a top starter proven to be in Major League Baseball with the Indians. He's on the trade block as well. So those are some names that you could see flying around throughout the day today. But I'll take a break here, come back. Not likely, could go, most likely. Pirates by the 4 p.m. trade deadline today. Let's get into it next. Just a few more minutes here on the early morning show before the Fan Morning Show pre-show coming up at 5:40. Colin Dunlap, Chris Mack, Jim Colony, the return of Jim on the updates today. So he's back after a week off. Coming up at 7 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show, it's the first of our weekly hits with Ed Bouchette. So he'll join to talk all things Steelers, of course, and will throughout the entire season, Mondays at 7 o'clock. That starts up today. Then 9 o'clock, our Pirates insider Jason Mackey joins us as the trade deadline looms ahead for the Pirates and all of Major League Baseball. 4 o'clock today, and that's where we jump off right now for this last segment of the show, talking all things deadline and the Pirates. And, of course, I don't have any kind of, you know, league insider information. I haven't been on the phone with Ben Cherington to get this information. But just in kind of reading the tea leaves and seeing what makes sense around the league, the players I expect to go from not likely could go to most likely before 4 p.m. today. And I think this is an exercise that you pretty much have to run through every healthy player on the Pirates roster, because nobody should be safe from being moved at this deadline. Nobody. If the right move comes along, the right deal comes along, I would not put it past Ben Cherington to make a move, and I wouldn't criticize him either for making a move. I wouldn't feel that strongly about anybody on this roster. So, not likely to go, I would think. First, Gregory Polanco, just because of his contract. Because you can't really move that deal. He's got buyout options, but not after he's due a ton of money. And he's, although he hit another homer yesterday at Miller Park, overall the production just isn't going to be there to get a team to bite on that. So Gregory Polanco not likely to go. I wouldn't think that Josh Bell is likely to go either. Now, that's not to say that, again, if a team comes in and blows you away with something, that you don't take that deal. But considering his year so far, I mean, he's got four homers, 14 RBIs, but he's hitting 218. He's only got a 616 OPS. That's just not necessarily a production line that a lot of teams are going to try to overpay for. And I think that's the overpayment was what Cherington would go for. I don't think he's going to get that at this deadline. I don't think Bell is likely to go. And I wouldn't think Kevin Newman, Cole Tucker, Brian Reynolds, or Jacob Stallings are very likely to go either. Those guys, especially with Tucker moving to center field, I think they want to see what they have in him. Newman's starting to come back around with his bat. Reynolds was so good last year. They're probably going to be more patient with him. And Jacob Stallings has been their best player so far. So I don't think that any of those guys are likely to go at this deadline. Could go. We'll go to the next tier. Derek Holland, he may have pitched himself back to the Pirates here in the second half of the season with how bad he's been with his 7.62 ERA. But in a perfect world, he would be a guy that would be out there on the trade block where he is a veteran guy who's on a team that's not going anywhere, that he's not going to be part of their future. And he could be an extra arm, an extra lefty especially, that you could place in the bullpen or the rotation for a contending team. That's why I still think he could go, but again, that 7.62 ERA is obviously very, very ugly. Chad Cole, it's going to be a lot of pitchers, I think, and a lot of starting pitchers on this list of the could-goes. Chad Cole with his 2.52 ERA in four starts. He's already been linked to the Toronto Blue Jays along with Trevor Williams. I would think that he would garner the most interest from teams looking for starting pitching because of how well he's done. But I wonder if Ben Cherington will value him too much and not want to move him, maybe thinking that he's part of the future here in Pittsburgh. He's still a younger pitcher, and it looks like he's got a very, very live arm coming off that surgery a couple off seasons ago. So maybe he drives that price up just because he wants to see Chad Cole stick around. So that's why I put him in the could go and not most likely to go category. Eric Gonzalez and Adam Frazier both fit into this as well, I think. Eric Gonzalez has had a surprisingly decent season, 272 average, great defender. They might want to make him and see if he's part of their future. Maybe the asking price is a little bit higher. And with Frazier, he's an established major league player. But there are downsides, that he's not much defensively. Yes, he could play multiple positions, but can he play them well? Not too sure. And he's got a 207 average this year, so he hasn't necessarily knocked anybody's socks off with what he's doing. So I put Adam Frazier in the could-go category as well. Most likely, at least in my mind, to go before 4 p.m. today for the Pittsburgh Pirates. First, Trevor Williams, already interest from the Blue Jays, established success in Major League Baseball, had, you know, a season a couple years ago where he was in the low threes with his ERA. He's got two arbitration years or years of control left before he's an unrestricted free agent. The 5.34 ERA in his last start wasn't great, but I would think that he's going to be somebody that's going to get a lot of interest from around the league as a starting pitcher that you can plug in. Still at only 28 years old, younger, I think he's 28 or 27. I would think that he's most likely to go today, as well as Joe Musgrove. He's got interest from the Atlanta Braves already, as Jason Mackey reported. Has some injury issues, but 2 years of control as well at least gives some interest from around the league, I would think. The Pirates view him as a leader and a great clubhouse guy, which is interesting. I don't know how much that factors in to the asking price or how willing they are to move him today. And I hesitate to put him in most likely. Maybe he goes back in that could-go tier just because of that, but I think the right deal, and he's out regardless. Chris Stratton, cheap. One-year deal, $588,000 he's making this year. Every team would like a reliever like him to eat innings, and he's eaten 16 for the Pirates so far this year. He leads every bullpen piece in innings pitched, and I think he's a valuable piece for a contending team. I would expect Chris Stratton to most likely go today, along with Richard Rodriguez. Yes, I know He has given up a lot of home runs, and he's so frustrating to watch sometimes with his 4.61 ERA, but I think it's the stuff factor, that he still has a lot of movement on his pitches and that he still can blow by that fastball by a lot of hitters around the league, and I think teams will be interested in that, so I think Rodriguez could go today as well. I mean, it's not going to be a great return, but there will be some interest, I would think, from around the league. And Keone Kella would be there if he didn't have all those forearm issues, wasn't hurt. He would obviously be the biggest piece, but I think right behind him, Kyle Crick is back and right at the perfect time to be healthy, because I would shop him hard as well, and I would think that he would have interest, garner interest from across the league. He's had his clubhouse issues in the past, but he's got good stuff as well. His stuff moves around a lot, which also is an Achilles heel for him at times, because he can't always control it. But I would think if you dangle Kyle Crick out there, you're going to get some suitors there as well. So a lot of bullpen pieces and maybe a couple starting pitchers in Musgrove and Williams that I think are most likely to leave the Pirates organization today. Hitters, Gonzalez and Frazier are the ones that stand out to me the most, but I wouldn't be surprised if they end up Pirates after 4 p.m. today at the deadline. We'll see what happens. I still don't have a great pulse on it and whether or not there's going to be a flurry of deals or not with a team that's only 10-21 and doesn't have a lot of outstanding performers. But I have to think that there's going to be at least 2-3 deals today. And maybe the returns just aren't that great and what we're looking for. All right, let's end the show today with this.
It's time for Gone in 40 Seconds. One last 40-second take to send you into the rest of the morning on the Early Morning Show. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
17 days after announcing it would attempt to a play in the spring of 2021, a decision that came 6 days after the Big Ten released its fall 2020 schedule, the league is now at least considering a Thanksgiving week start. It's clear that the Big Ten has really screwed up here. Coaches, players, parents have questioned, criticized, pleaded with them for answers on why they aren't playing in the fall. So the Big Ten is backtracking hard and trying to get something out there. But what changed from earlier this month when they made this decision? What went into the decision? I truly believe Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren tried to be a pioneer by making the decision to cancel first, thinking everyone would follow, and then they didn't. Whoops. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, mostly cloudy with a little rain and a high of 78. And then tonight, humid with low clouds and a low of 68. The pre-show, it's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.